This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better.
This is episode 11.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Allison Crow, and this is the Better Life, Better Work show. I'm a life and business coach and a reverent priestess with soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman and man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. In this show, we cover topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and spiritually and energetics. Today is a business strategy and mindset call combo. This podcast is recorded live on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Central on my Facebook business page. Shout out to everybody who's here live. And we'd love for you to connect with us, to share with your friends now that we're out of drama from the morning, and tell others about the Better Life, Better Work show. Spread the love, y'all. And of course, your show topic ideas are always welcome. I want to know what challenges we could talk about on this show that would help you have a better life and better work. So today, the show topic is called Boss Lady or Boss Man, Put Your Professional Panties On. And we're going to talk about how to upgrade your communication. So this comes from Megan, a member of my community. She asks, I get so many people who want free advice and will just shoot me a quick text or Facebook message to pick my brain about something that I charge good money for, like it's no big deal. How do I set boundaries around that? Holy moly, happens all the time. One that happens for me is people ask me how to do something like it was super easy and it didn't cost me $125 or $20,000 to learn how to do. Because when you become a leader and when you become knowledgeable and when you're resourceful, people look at you and think, God, you're badass. I want to know how you do that. And so can I pick your brain? People wanting to have coffee, people wanting to connect, and because they see you in your professional mode, they want to be friends with you. So for example, this was interesting. A couple of Januaries ago, I went up to Madison, Wisconsin to see my friend Charity Gent, who is a successful coach and a bestie of mine. And it was a vacation. We were not working this whole time. And my Facebook Messenger, apparently I have a lot of fans in Madison, Wisconsin. And it caught me off guard because it was the first time it ever happened that people were like, oh, you're in town. I'd love to see you. Oh, you're in town. Could I take you to coffee? Oh, you're in town. You know, and I would just write back and say, I'm in town on a personal vacation. So I don't have time for professional visits, but on one hand, it felt really nice to have fans and people know that I had impacted people. But on the other hand, it was like, dude, this is my vacation. It was so strange. It was new for me. And so for some people, as you grow your audience, it might be new, and it's no longer new for me. But it also, even before social media, it happened in more subtle ways when I lived in Austin, Texas. So I noticed that people, you know, that was when I worked in an office and people would want to be friends with me or go to lunch. And part of what we did in real estate networking was we did a lot of lunches, we did a lot of happy hours, we did a lot of social stuff. And at that time, I was very social, but I would find two things happening. One, clearly my ego was being stroked because people wanted to spend time with me. So it's like I was being fluffed and I'm talking about all these things I know about. And the more I talk about what I know or give my, you know, coaching over a couple of drinks, and I'm not even thinking about it as coaching, but the more I'm bringing my professional skills into my social situations, the more I'm setting myself up for a smackdown, right? For some kind of problem. And over a while, I didn't realize where certain relationships weren't fulfilling to me. And in looking back at that, I can see that there were certain relationships long ago that I would have that I realized I'm the only one contributing to this relationship. And the person on the other end is always needing some advice or some resources or some coaching or my wisdom. And I'm not really getting anything back. So fast forward 10 years, and it didn't hurt to move to a new city, and it didn't hurt to really move into more of an introverted space for me, but it still happens online, right? So today I'm going to be talking about some of the energy and the reasons why this stuff comes up. Why, when we are professional leaders, coaches, teachers, artists, and we are on some form of platform where we have a bit of notoriety, whether it's big and famous or even these little micro famousnesses, right? And we get bombarded with, not even bombarded, right? But you just get the casual, let's have coffee. Can you tell me how you do this? And the, I want to pick your brain. So in the age of social media, often social and professional lines get blurry. And one of the things I actually teach in Share Your Heart, Show Your Work is to let your personal side come into your brand persona, right? Like, this is how we do authentic marketing, is we let some of our personal side, like, you know, so people see my dogs or know that I love macaroni and cheese, or sometimes I drink wine on a live stream, these kinds of things. And there's a lot of things personally combined with my professional skills that make up who I am. I had a session with a gal yesterday, and she was like, Allison, the business thing about you is your authenticity, right? So I want to let you know, first of all, that obviously you probably, if you have any kind of success and any kind of platform, or even if it's not online, but you know, you're just known in your community, you probably get these emails, text messages from people wanting to meet with you, to have coffee, to pick your brain, to barter services with you, etc. This is so much more about than, it's so much more than lunch or picking brain or coffee. It's about being able to say no. And it's about distinguishing ourselves professionally and socially. And used to, there was a very clear line, right? You just didn't take your social stuff to work. But in the you know, it is called social media. And now there are many social businesses and online businesses. And this is a way that we connect with each other. And this is really about having the distinction in our, not just in our mind, but knowing the energy and being able, you know, we used to call it, let me put on my coaching hat, let me put on my friend hat. Being able to put up, and the way this this member of my community put it was as boundaries. And I'm not sure if boundaries is the, you know, maybe that's the right term. For me, a boundary is like, if someone's violating me, I don't know that I necessarily believe someone is violating me by asking, you know, it never hurts to ask, but we've got to give ourselves permission to say no. So think about this, our ability to say no, especially amongst our audience, our larger audience. And I'm not talking your paid clients. There's a time and a place to say no to your paid clients too. But I'm talking about these kinds of conversations. Many of us dread saying no because our subconscious doesn't want to let people down. We're worrying about being liked, or that we might even be missing an opportunity, right? So it's like, oh, well, what if this person can do something for me, right? And so we say yes against our better judgment, and we end up feeling resentment, overbooking ourselves, sitting at a coffee going, why the fuck did I come do this? Or sitting at a coffee and going, oh, this person just wants to be my friend. I don't have room on my plate for friends. And as we begin thinking all those thoughts, of course, we're like, God, I'm really mean. Like, I'm really mean. No, then it propels the, oh, then nobody will like me. How do I know? Because I've done it. Sorry, little microphone. Didn't mean to slap you with my hand gestures. Chief people pleaser here, Allison Crowe, and I have learned from tens of thousands of coaching sessions over the last 11 years, now going on 12, and from my own issue, that this issue creeps up over and over and over and over and over again, especially depending on our environments and the inner work that we may need to do around making that distinction, social or professional. So here's what we need to learn to do. We need to learn to make that the distinction, both energetically, and then we need the tools to respond professionally, courteously, without giving somebody the double bird, right? Which sometimes our ego wants to give them. Are you effing kidding me? I can't believe you're asking me this. My assistant told me about this. Maria told me about this website that is something about Google this shit. And it's something like when people ask you a question and you know in your mind that the answer is at the top of Google and you don't have time to do it. And so you put that, I don't know the website, but it's kind of, it's kind of a sassy way of saying, oh, here's how you do it. And it says Google this shit. And it actually tells the person, you know, this is how you do it. And it kind of points to Google. I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to come across that way. But it's tempting sometimes. First, recognize that the social self wants to be accepted. That probably isn't going to change. All of humanity wants to be liked and to be right. We are also, as business professionals, not going to deny that ultimately we're hoping to close the deal or get the client or make the sale, etc. Cultural conditioning has us trained to be liked. In all my years of coaching, even way back in the real estate days, because connecting was a part of prospecting, clients often show up with this problem. But when we begin to think about professional selves, we can begin to focus on a commitment to show up as professional in our work. So first of all, we have to pay attention, like we talked about in the last episode, in episode 10, and clearing clutter from your business. We have to know what gives us energy and what drains our energy at work. And we have to professionally avoid and protect the soul and the energy and the container and the systems and structures and time of our business in both our personal but also our professional lives, right? But the old energies of obligation run so deep for so many people, especially a lot of heart-centered, service-based people. Not all, but many. Let me tell you this. I've long said that obligation, when we have the feeling or thought of obligation, the thought of like, I'm obligated to do this, I should do this, it creates a feeling of shame. It creates a heaviness. It creates a thickness. It creates a resentment. Another word for obligation is debt, as in financial debt. So when we are taking action and moving in the energy of obligation, and we're wondering why our business is sucking wind, right? Because we're attached to not just the outcome of our business, but attached to being a light, attached to being attached to being like and getting the sale and those kind of things. So that's why a lot of times you hear, don't be attached to sale. It's like, yeah, let go. But our mind, our thinking, it's all a big thinking mess. So if we can take a look and see where in our business or where in the requests that are made of us, where in the requests that are made of you, are you responding out of obligation versus acting in alignment with your own truth, right? So the first thing you got to do is figure out your own truth. Now, my friend Charity Jen is an extrovert and she loves going to coffee. She teaches a lot of new coaches and she teaches have coffees. If that gives you energy and you love it, then by all means, go do it. But many, many successful people I know, when somebody wants to take them to lunch or take them to coffee or pick their brain, like the automatic response in our being is, dude, I get paid for that. I already have a full roster of clients. I got shit to do. I got family. I don't have time for this new person out of the blue that needs something, right? That's the truth. We don't want to say that out loud. We don't want to be a jerk, but automatically our world closes in. And a lot of this, you know, I think that it is true. You know, what Megan said in her question, she said, this is stuff I get paid for. And you and I don't walk into the doctor or go up, you know, let's say we're at a party or we don't, you know, we don't walk in and say, oh, you're a doctor. Can I have you diagnose this boil on my ass right here, right now? Right. And so Christine asked, how do you differentiate a connection with a pick your brain free over coffee? So hold that spot, because I'm going to actually, after I get through this inner work part, I'm going to give you some actual tools to do that, Christine. So let me hold that thought, Christine. I may need you to copy and paste it again so I can remember it when I get to that point, because that's a little bit more specific than I went since I got it interrupted with the pool stuff. Okay. So before, like I said, before, the reason we do the inner work, you guys, is because we do the inner work first versus just changing the outer behavior. Because otherwise, if you just change the outer behavior and you don't change the, begin to work on the thinking on the inside, then the outer behavior goes back a lot quicker. Okay, so because I'm a coach and because what I do is help ask you questions to know and trust yourself a little bit better, I need to ask you a couple questions first. What do you need to believe about yourself to give yourself permission to say no when you get a request that you feel obligated to say yes to? What do you need to believe about yourself to give yourself permission to say no? And what do you have to believe about yourself and your work to stand in your professional self versus your social self in these situations? So I'm going to use the example as a doctor again. I imagine that if I were at a party and I ran into a plastic surgeon, I might go, oh, you're a plastic surgeon. What's your specialty? And if he said cosmetic face, I would say, oh, I have this thing on my head. Can I get your card? I'll set up an appointment with you during office hours and go. I'm not going to ask him what it is right there with my cocktail in my hand and, you know, do that. But it seems to happen to a lot of us all the time. Part of that is because of the way doctors have always done, well, not always, as long as I've been alive, the way they've done business, right? They have two or three layers protecting their time. They have two or three gatekeepers, right? And in social media, we're much more, I mean, people are tweeting famous people. The Fonzie tweeted my husband the other day, right? So we don't have all those gatekeepers, which means we need to be the gatekeeper. We need to set the parameters. And here's the phrase. We need to teach people how we work, because they don't know. They didn't wake up and say, you know what? I think I'm going to be a real dick and ask Allison to pick her brain. No, they didn't say that. So we need to teach people how we work, what we're able to do and what we're not able to do. And so if you can begin to first believe that it's okay to say no, saying no doesn't mean you're a jerk, right? And that it's very common. And then also believe that you don't have to give all your work away. You know, as I'm watching the live stream, one of my high paying clients is here. You know, Eric wrote a really, really big check to work with me. And if Eric wrote that really big check to work with me and I'm giving the same kind of brain picking and coaching that I do on our private calls, and I were running around doing that for free, it's a slight to him. It's that makes the integrity about what I charge problematic, probably for him and for me, right? Right. So people pay Megan to do this work. So here's how, when we put on our professional panties And I know I could say professional hats, but come on, y'all know, wearing pro panties. Put your pro panties on. That's what Stacy and I always say to each other. But y'all know pro panties is funnier than pro hats. So think about, take a moment. Take a moment and for a minute, think about yourself as a business person. Not as a social person, but as a business person, a professional. And hold that energy and intention for a moment. You know, a lot of us are working at home. It's a big joke that you don't have to put on pants. It's one of the reasons I get up and I get dressed and I fix my hair and makeup most days. I fix my makeup every day. But it's one of the reasons I get up and get dressed. I do not work in my pajamas because I want to feel professional. It's already hard enough at home with laundry and dogs. But take a moment and put yourself in the most professional setting you've ever been. Maybe in your mind's eye, put on even corporate clothing. Especially if you work at home, just hold that energy for a minute and think about yourself as a business person and begin to notice the difference between wearing the pro panties and wearing the social everyday person panties in your business. And take a moment and listen, because I can't tell you what's right for you or not, but if you'll listen to what I call your divine business manager. And your divine business manager is just the inner wise self, but she's the one with the business degree and runs the business and supports you in running the business. You know, your inner child doesn't run your business. Your inner child doesn't set appointments. Your inner child doesn't convert clients. Your inner child doesn't share your magic and give your services, right? This is your professional self. And so if we can call in and the energy of our professional selves, and begin to notice what are the distinctions that you make. So let me tell you an example I had in real life. A couple of months ago, I got a request from a fan of mine, a follower of mine that at the time I had never met in person, that I just adore. I think she's so fun. I love her energy. She works with an old mentee and friend of mine, and she sent me a message saying, I want to make a proposal to you. I would love to come to your live event in exchange for being the photographer. I'm a professional photographer, and I would love to photograph your event for just being in the room. And here's what happened on the inside of me. When the request came in, I knew logically my event is fully staffed, and I actually have two professional photographers in the room. And that any gift spots I had were for my high paying clients, because my high paying clients get a gift ticket to the event. But I really, the people pleaser in me really wanted her in the room. I so wanted her to be there. So the response that came out of my hands as I typed in my messenger was, oh my gosh, that would be so cool. Let me think about it for a minute and look at my books and all this other stuff. I already knew the answer. But I automatically went into people pleaser mode. And then about 10 minutes later, I realized, I was like, Allison, put on your business hat. I had on my people pleaser, social media friend hat. And I responded as a social persona, as a friend, instead of as the business professional to a request that was made to me. And so I wrote back and I said, actually, I know that my event is fully staffed. I actually have two photographers in the room. I so appreciate your enthusiasm and the offer. And I'd love to have you in the room. Here's the link for the full price tickets. And I originally responded because the friend me really wants you to be in the room. But professionally, I need to let you know that this is where the full price tickets are. I hope you can still come. And she was so cool about it. She was just fine about it. But so think about a situation. And before I give you the answer, I think it's kind of fun. If you have one of these situations that you've been in recently or that you blew before, think about when you pull in that professional energy, how would you respond if you were a professional? And if you can't think about how you would respond, then think about the most professional, wise person that you know and how they might, that you know and respect, how they might respond. It's So this is funny. This is perfect. I love this because a lot of times when I'm coaching my clients, I have these inner, like, what we call them, scripts, right? So in being a business, in sales, we learn the language of being a professional, right? You have to learn the language of being professional. So give yourself a break if you haven't learned it yet. And I have all these, you know, chicken scratch notes, because I was thinking through these last night and writing them this morning, these different scenarios and these different, in real estate, we called them scripts. I call them words that work, but what is the professional language that we use? So of course, all the malarkey with the pool happened and my notes end right here. So I'm gonna bring this in just from real experience. Let me take a breath and get a sip here. It's funny how I can do this on a one-on-one call, but then I get in front of all you guys and I start to get a little nervous. And you know what? It's all in there. It's all in there. So let me start with Christine's question, because she asked a great question. And my client had this last week. This was fun. She actually had this. And I called her and I said, what was the script I gave you for this? How do you differentiate a connection with a pick your brain free over coffee? Christine, can you tell me a little bit more? Are you saying, like, if somebody asks you for coffee, are they wanting to, like, and you don't know if it's they want to pick your brain? And it's funny because Marie Forleo says they will pick your brain. They will. And they will. She's so right. Marie Forleo has three really good scripts for this that are different from the ones that I use. But if you Google search pick my brain and Marie Forleo, you can find great resources. I'll link to it in the show notes. But she's got some really good ones. Mine are a little bit different than hers, and mine are more my personality. So you have to come up with your own language. But one of the ways that you differentiate is you ask. You ask. So are you wanting to have coffee as a friend, or is this a professional request? Right? And even if you want to say no either way, it lets you know which direction to go. Right? First of all, that helps the other person get clear on what they want from you, right? And, I'm looking for new friends, et cetera. And then I would, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't really have time for new friends. But what I would do in that situation, and I think this is similar to one of Marie Forleo's, what I would do is, you know what? I would find a social event that I was either already attending or something where a group of people were, or I'd make plans for a group and I'd invite that person along in that group, right? Something when I'm already going to be out, like, oh, we're going to be going to this concert tomorrow night, or there's a bunch of us meeting down for drinks. Why don't you come to that? Or I'm going to the, you know, Denton Women's event this Thursday night. Why don't you come and do that? You know, so because for me, that also diffuses the situation. It's a nice, light way to get to know somebody, especially if you're an introvert. Okay, so Christine says this. Thank you for that clarification. She says, I don't want to miss a connection for business over someone trying to pick my brain. Okay, so this is another thing. You may like to pick brains. I'm going to get to that, Susan. I love it. So you may love having a brain pick. You may decide that once a week on your calendar is a brain pick. Okay. But here's the thing. As soon as your business and your roster gets full, you don't worry about missing connections. Missing connections is different than having the right connections. And so we can say, this is what I like to do when somebody wants to pick my brain, right? And this, as I sit and look at Eric and some of my other clients that are on here, if you'd like to pick my brain, I have a 60-minute session available for $200 or a 90-minute session for $250. I can do that Thursday this week at 2 o'clock. Would that work for you? I don't know if it's different now that it's new. So Christine says, that's different since my business is new. Let me tap into that just energetically for a minute. Because on one hand, you are creating, but I think there's even other ways to do it. So here's how I would do it. Let me run this by you. I've been thinking about doing this locally, actually. So for example, Megan, who asked this question, this is what I love. Megan, who asked this question, lives locally. And every once in a while, like I'm at a bar and she's out and it's like we could come by. But I love that she's never put the pressure on me. Hey, let's meet. Right? Because she probably gets it. But yet, if we are both out and we're on opposite sides of the square, how fun to pick up, right? Even as friends. But I also know from knowing her online and her having this question that if she wanted a professional appointment, she would call and say, I'd like a professional appointment. So it's interesting. I actually had a social dinner with a couple friend of my husband's. And a few weeks later, after this connecting with this woman on Facebook, she saw what I did and she wrote the best email to me, the best email to me. And it made me say yes. So she wrote the best email and she said, I know that we met under circumstances of friends, but I am approaching you professionally. I was wondering if you might be someone that could help me with some things I'm going through. And I wrote back and said, you know what? Let's set up an appointment to see if that is. But it was so clear from her end that she wanted professional help. And of course, when people are seriously looking for professional help, I set up sessions with them that I'm not charging. You know, I set up these exploratory sessions. But it was so nice that she did that. Because on the other hand, I have somebody that knows that I do exploratory sessions and that knows a bunch of my colleagues do. And when I found this out, I was so pissed off. Because she approached me and said, so-and-so referred you, thought we might be a good match. I'd love to see if we're a good match for coaching. So of course I do my thing. I have my 2-hour coaching session with her. And I find out she's done it to 4 or 5 of my other colleagues. And she wrote a blog post about it and said she just wanted to get some free coaching. That fucking pisses me off. I felt used, right? Because that is for people who are very serious and they're serious enough with my time and they're not taking my gifts for advantage, right? And so, you know, if I had known that, if she just wanted a one-off session, I'd have said the one-off session's $400 or $500 or $700 or whatever I decide I want to charge, right? So if you're new, I actually think, Christine, here's what I'm going to say. And because I know you online and we run in communities, I consider you a close follower, almost a client, even though you haven't actually been a client yet. I'm gonna go ahead and push you a little bit, and I want you to, even new in your business, treat it professionally as if you had a full roster. So you can still want business, and if somebody wants to pick your brain, then set parameters around it. Unless you love having coffee, I suggest setting an actual appointment time in your calendar and maybe doing it over Zoom or Skype so you can still be face to face. Or if you're going to do it for coffee, be more like, what specifically are you wanting me to do? Where are we going to meet? And I have 30 minutes to do it. Right? And then at the end, be sure to ask, well, that's the other thing. Do people want to pick your brain? Picking your brain is different too, because a lot of times people new in business want to pick. But here's the thing, Christine, you're the perfect example of this. Perfect example of this. So Christine worked with a client of mine and she took, Christine, is it okay if I talk about you? I think it is, but I don't want to assume. But I want to talk about the program you took with Diane and what I've seen you do with it. Because not everybody did that. So there's this group online called Doodle Girl and Friends. And my client, Diane Bleck, runs an amazing institute called the Doodle Institute. And Diane Bleck is one of the premier graphic recorders, graphic facilitators. She's been in this business for 22 years. She has worked with corporate and medicine, super high paying gigs. Like I just got chills at how high paying her gigs are. And in the last couple of years, she turned her attention toward ordinary people and sharing the magic of doodling, the magic of connecting with your heart to teachers and students and parents and kids. And so she has this whole course of the Doodle Institute and how to do this doodling. And at one point I was like, Diane, these people want to learn from you. And some of these people, I promise you, are doing so well. They need to know that they can get professional training and you can provide this professional training to them so that they can begin to go out into the business world and start charging $3,000 a day for a gig. And so there's hundreds of people in the Doodle Institute, maybe even thousands in the Doodle Institute and the Doodle Girl and Friends. And not everybody wants to be a professional. But here's what I love about Christine, who is asking these questions. God, I love this. I love this, you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. This is what I love about giving myself permission to interact with you guys that are in the room, so to speak. And even though we're recording it for the podcast, because the real life examples are so much better than me just teaching off of a fucking bullet point board. Okay. So Christine is in this large group of people and only a small portion of them are going to be resourceful. Only a small portion of them are, and I'm not talking resourceful for asking, but Christine goes and puts her money where her mouth is and shines up for, I can't remember what it was called, but one of her, Diane's big group, not big group, but it's a small mastermind of people. The business of doodling, I think, is what it was called, but it's a longer term program. It's more expensive. You learn the business aspect and, you know, you learn the business aspect. And so you have proven and shown yourself, and we have seen social proof of that, that you're not a leech, you're not a sucker and a taker. And it's interesting because anybody who's been in the front of the room or in a leadership position knows the Doodle for Dollars Mastermind group. Anybody that has been knows the energy of somebody that wants to contribute to you versus somebody that wants to take from you. And there is this law of, one of the first things I learned when I came into the online world, I had a mentor that taught our class. If you want to ask something of somebody in the limelight, of your heroes and sheroes online, an influencer, I guess is what they're called. And if they're influencing you, they're an influencer. And if you want to ask something, you better be sure you've given them something first. You share their work, you do something. So Miriam Linderman shares everything I do. And I swear, if she asked me, called and asked or sent me a message and said, I could really use a sample session. Miriam has done so much for me that law of reciprocation is going to come in and I might bend my professional boundary and just do it. Because she has already given so much to me in my business, right? So it's about this exchange of energy. So the first thing, let me get back to this, the languaging and the scripting. I'm sorry, I'm not looking at the camera. I'm looking at your comments. So the first thing is to ask. You can also do this if somebody refers you. So like my friend Jessica refers me people all the time. And I need to remember to send her an email that says, hey, is this a personal referral or a professional referral? Because Jessica's a connector, right? There's some people out there that are just connectors. Kay and I were talking about this. She has someone that sends her lots of referrals. And I said, you just need to ask him, hey, is before you contact this person, right? Is this a professional or a personal? Not oh, you'll love Kay. It's, you know, is this person, are you referring them to come do business with me? Or do you just think we'll get along and like each other? Right? Because how we handle it is differently. So if we don't know, the professional would say, so if you call a doctor's office, here's what they say. Why are you coming in? They don't just go, okay, you can have an appointment, right? So be professional. Ask, what is it you would like to talk about? What is it you would like to pick my brain about? Are you wanting a professional coffee meeting, or are you wanting to connect personally? Right. And so if they're wanting to say personally, there are a lot of things that you could say depending if you want to connect personally. Great. If you don't, I think Marie Forleo, she's got a cute one. You know, there's a couple of things that can be true. I'm on a deadline, so I'm not doing personal appointments right now. Or I'm, you know, one of mine that's honestly true is until the I'm doing some back-end stuff on my business, and I told a girl the other day, I'd actually love to connect with you. I need to get through this project that I'm on and through this trip to LA that I'm going on, but I'm available after on this date at this time after I get back from LA on this date, right? And so I set it in my calendar at a time that works for me so I can energetically prepare and know that I've cleared out my own space instead of adding her to what I already have on my internal and external agenda. Now, if it's a professional one, then we can redirect and say, thank you so much for asking. So a couple of things. I don't do coffee. I love coffee, but I don't do it. What I'd like to do instead is invite you to a 15-minute or a 20-minute exploratory session. We can meet on Zoom. I can meet with you next Tuesday at 11 a.m. or Thursday at 3 p.m. Which one of those would work for you? So the other thing we don't want to do when you're in your social self, okay, when you're in your social self, we go, when can you get together? Oh, I don't know. When can you? Meh, 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 meh. My husband and I laugh because it's the one conversation we hate to have. Where do you want to dinner? I don't know. Where do you want to have dinner? The professional lays, I can't stand when I call my doctor's office and they do it sometime too. When do you want to come in? And I'm like, I don't know. When do you have open? Right? So you as the professional take the lead in the relationship and set the parameters. You're the pro. That's what having pro panties on means, right? So as a professional, I look at my willingness. If I'm not willing, I say no gracefully. So let me give a graceful no. Thank you so much. I appreciate your enthusiasm. I'm honored that you influence me. You can direct them to your content. You know what? I have a blog that I've written about that. Or if you'd like to, I can do a one-off session. This is the cost. Here's a link. I can give you a link to set that up in my calendar and pay. And then I look forward to connecting professionally. Right? And so there's nothing wrong with using your link and your scheduler, you know, a payment link and a scheduler to send somebody. If you'd like to have a professional appointment with me, we do that through this calendar and there's a payment link on there. You could submit your payment and we'll get all set up. Does that sound mean or rude? They might have been wanting it for free, but they might not mind paying. And you deserve to get paid for the work that you do. Right? Or you can make up, you know what? I do consultation sessions. I talked to one coach. I actually hired a coach for a 3-hour strategy session for $2,100. I picked her brain for $2,100, you guys. And I was like, I should do that. I'm totally putting on. I will do a strategy session with you. You can pick my brain. I will actually do pre-work and pro-work. And I'm going to charge you $2,100. Which is hilarious because if I were to spend 3 hours with a corporation, guess what I charge them? About $2,100, right? So we've got to, when you put, and here's what's funny. I find Christine says, just a second. I find myself getting in the energy of professional Allison. Like I even want to take off the tennis shoes I'm wearing right now and put back on my heels, right? And so I love Christine says, sounds great. And if they're your people and serious, then they will pay. And so this is the other thing. Christine is in a business, the graphic recording business. This is another one. You will get this all the time. We all get it, you guys. People want stuff for free. Even the nonprofits, you know, oh, I'm nonprofit. Just because they're nonprofit, it doesn't change your fee. The client doesn't decide what your fee is. Now, if you want to do nonprofit work or pro bono work, which many of us contribute our services as professionals, because that's a part of what we do, but we decide the contributors, right? We decide the contribution. So thank you so much. I contribute. I already, you know, I do a certain amount of pro bono work or discounted work, but I'm already booked up giving that to my favorite charity, XYZ. Right. So what if you'd like to do this? My fee for this is XYZ. And a lot of times they'll pay for it. And so this is so true. Christine and Megan and anybody else. I don't know if Eric is still on here, but Eric shows up every single week for his coaching calls. He paid me happily. Happily, he paid me. He's never once lamented, I shouldn't have paid Allison. I don't want to pay her. When I even told him we set up the payment plan, there's always a big chunk of a down payment. And it was so fun because I was like, it's not due till the first. It came through immediately. And it is so much more fun to work with a client who's excited. I just hired a brand person and I don't have to pay the first bill until April 15th. And I just am like, I just want to send them their first $2,000, right? Because I'm so excited about doing the work. I just want to send them the money. See, Eric says, I'm here very happily. And so I just want to let you guys know, especially if you're newer, that this is a possibility for business. And it's a much higher vibe. My whole body is tingling. It's a much higher vibration. I'm clearly going to go over because we started 15 minutes late. I know that the podcast, this will have been edited down for you. The people live got to have a 15 minute pre-show with my drama. But this is clearly a higher and more professional energy than this mousy, I want people to like me, I don't want to miss something. Because here's the thing. If somebody really wants to work with you, they'll hunt you down. They will hunt you down. If somebody really wants to work with you or have a session with you or do your work, they will make a way. Eric made a way. I've had thousands of clients make a way. Not everybody chooses to, and it doesn't make them a bad person. This is what I always say abundance-wise. If they don't work with me or Christine, if they don't work with you, they might work with Muddy. And then Muddy's blessed and you don't feel bad for Muddy. So, you know, that's the thing. When we come from a scarcity mindset. So if you go back to the session on abundance, we have scarcity mindset is that we might miss an opportunity. But the opposite of that is... just had a memory. The opposite of that is being in abundance, that opportunities come to me. And so this is another distinction I want you to make. So here's another distinction for all of you guys. When you were first out of college and you went to go and get interviewed, you were waiting for them to choose you. That is not the professional. Okay. And notice the title of this is Boss Lady. Okay, so boss ladies and you boss men listening, you are the boss of your business. You are the CEO of your business, which means you are the decider. That is it. I'm starting the t-shirt company and the first shirt is going to be you are the decider. So you are the decider. You are the decider of who you want to work with and who you don't. And you don't want to work with anybody that doesn't approach and meet you professionally. Now, they may not know how to, but if you set the parameters... Thank you so much for inquiring. I actually do offer what I call a brain picking session. You can do a 30 minute for this price, a 60 minute for this price, or I'll even do 3 hours for $2,100. And if they say, oh no, I was hoping to get that for free. Say, well, I appreciate that. I am glad that you like me. I don't do that. Silence. I don't do that. And it's interesting because when I actually do give a gift session to somebody of 2 hours because they're showing interest, I want them to experience my work, but I tell them to treat it as if they paid $1,000 for that session. I let them know the expectations I have, and I also let them know at the end of it, I'm going to ask them if I feel like we're a connection, I'm going to ask them if they want to work with me. So same thing with lunch. It just depends. And obviously I'm speaking to people who don't want to do, who want to say no, who want to say no professionally. Let me think of some of the other scripts. So one is asking, is this professional or this personal? Somebody wants to pick your brain. I would just turn around and offer them an appointment and a price. Or send them a link, right? That's the other thing. So if they don't want to do that, maybe you're somebody out there that has some resources. And then this one I'm learning to do. This one is hard for me, but I've learned a way to ask it. So people ask me all the time how I do something. One of the things they ask me to do is how I live stream from my desktop. Or how did I do that? How did I schedule a broadcast? And I find myself telling them over and over and over again. So there's one of two things you can do. You can create a blog post that tells, it's like a frequently, if you get frequently asked questions, this is a really good idea for anybody, create your frequently asked questions. So Megan, who's here, create your frequently asked questions, the things people pick your brain about, and put them on an opt-in or on a blog post or create a video about it or on a frequently asked questions page and refer people to that page. And if it's something that doesn't really have anything to do with your profession, so how did you schedule that live stream on Facebook? I'm learning to have my answer be, have you Googled that or have you Facebook searched it? Because often Google or Facebook is much better at explaining it than me. All right? Now, I do want to tell you, as you begin to learn this language and the language that you want to use, that's the other thing. So when we, hold on, let me backtrack. When we ask somebody, we're not being a bitch going, Google that shit. That's not the energy I want to come from, but have you Googled that? And I remember early days of being a real estate coach, hardly anybody was online. And people wanted to know how I was so smart. And my ego loved being so smart. But you know how I was so smart? Google. You know how I learned to do these live streams before we were able to live stream from our desktop? How I was able to create a professional looking live stream? I paid for a fucking class. And then everybody asked me how I do it. Well, I paid for a class. So then I started sending them the link. Here's the class I took. You can take the $49 class and I'm going to get an affiliate fee. And it felt really good to get an affiliate fee instead of try to walk everybody through this. I'm not here to teach classes on how to live stream. I'm here to do inner work on how to be visible, and my clients pay me for either my classes or my coaching. Right? So think about what you want, what you're good at, and think about what you can leverage out. And then also think about how you can help the client help themselves. I have one client, she was in my masterminds. It was so fun because she in her excitement, not because she was a jerk, but in her excitement, she would always ask these certain questions. And I would say, dear XYZ, you know I love you and you need to research it first. Have you researched it? Have you Googled it? And I used to do the same thing with my real estate clients, because I'm not here to tell you how to do everything. I'm here to teach you that if I get hit by a bus, you're going to be okay. Right? So a lot of times in holding our professional service instead of pleasing, and as my coach Rich Lipman says, I'm not here to please you. I'm here to serve you. We actually don't give the answers. In real estate, the example was if a client had a contract question and they needed to, especially a brand new real estate agent, they were never able. I told them, I said, if you have two things, if you have a contract question and you want to bring me the contract, you must have it filled out. You must make an attempt at filling it out, not a single empty blank, and I will go through it with you. And then the second one was, if you need me off hours, you may call. If it's an emergency, and emergency usually means there's a real estate deadline involved, not a fake emergency, and I may or may not call you back for 3 hours, right? Like, I want you, while you're waiting for me to call you back, try to figure out the solution. And so every single time I would wait 3 hours on purpose, and now here's the thing. If I answer the question every single time, my phone is going to be ringing off the wall. So if I train my clients to trust themselves, to be resourceful, then I'm actually doing a better job than if I'm this great oracle giving them all the wisdom. Okay, so back to these situations. Are there any other situations that you can think of where you need to say no politely? And in the show notes, in the deep show notes, the ones you opt in for the community, and for those of you that don't know, listening to the podcast, if you go to allisoncrow.com/better, you will get an email after the show that has this week's show and last week's show, the full detailed notes. And it's possible at some point, we're about to transition websites. So it's possible as we transition over everything, you'll actually have an inner access to the library of all the PDFs of the show notes with a lot more details. But you guys, you can Google. Here's the thing. You can Google. I could go over scripts all day long. These are just some of the ones that I use. There are people out there that have completely different scripts. Marie Forleo's got some. Yesterday, Mandy Leto sent me an awesome PDF that is probably one of Alexandra Franken, I think that's her name, one of her opt-ins, and it's how to say no. And she has a ton of scripts of languaging, that's legitimate languaging, of how to decline peacefully, with grace, with professional. Saying no doesn't mean you have to be a jerk. Learning how to say no with grace and strength is wearing your pro panties like the fucking bomb. And it will serve you and it will serve your business to learn how to up-level your communication so that you can serve your business. And if you're not serving your business, you're not serving your clients. If you're not serving your business, you're not serving potential new clients. So that's what I have for you guys today. I want to thank you so much for being here. Thank you for those of you that were here from the very start. I know, podcast people, you will not get to hear all the drama of the pool. It just was life happened at the beginning of the show. And so I needed to be in the green room, hang out in the green room, little pre-show with everybody. I do want to ask you guys to sign up at allisoncrow.com/better. If you got value and want to leave a tip, there's a tip jar. There's no obligation. But if you feel like you got value today and want to exchange some energy, feel free to drop a 5 or a 20 in that tip jar, baby. Share this stuff. Share this stuff. And if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, I would totally love you to give me a good review. If you want to give me a bad review, just don't. Give a good review. I want this to spread. I'm not going to lie. This is only show number 11. And I always imagine, what is it like to be brand new? What was it like for some of these other people that started their podcast 2 or 3 years? You know, we're on episode 300. I can't wait to be on episode 300, but I'm on episode 11. So what I need is my little grassroots crew. If you find value, if you don't find value, don't share it. But if you find value, please share the podcast, especially the podcast, right? I get that not everybody can watch the videos. The podcasts are so easy to listen to in your car. And I usually drop those on Sunday or Monday, just depending on when I get down to all the, my amazing producer, Elise, edits it all. And then when I sit down and I load it all up and drop it. And so I usually announce that on social media. You can also find all of the archives at allisoncrow.com/better. I so appreciate you. I want to help you have a better life. I want to help you have a better work. And if you're looking for a one-on-one coach, go to the coaching page on my website. See if that vibes with you. I've got a spot in my roster. All right, you guys, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. This show is recorded live on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Central on my Facebook page at www.allisoncrow.live. You can also get show notes and connect with me at www.allisoncrow.com/better. This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better. Better is better.